This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we're going to be doing another commentary. We did one recently, but we are biting the bullet and thought we'd do another one on your favorite episode, Suzanne, False Prophets.
Why do we keep choosing episodes that I really, really don't like? I don't get it.
It's funny you say that because for the longest time, I didn't know I was supposed to hate this episode.
It's awful. It has Ferengi in it. I mean, really, come on. We're in the Delta Quadrant. Why are there Ferengi?
There is something really strange about Ferengi on Voyager. It doesn't mesh with the gestalt of the show. It's actually interesting that the Ferengi aren't a good fit because the Ferengi are a little ridiculous and Voyager is known for its overall silliness sometimes. So it's interesting that the Ferengi don't actually fit with Voyager. You think they would fit better than they do.
No, because it's bringing too much ridiculousness to the pot. There's already the goofiness of Voyager. We don't need the extra. It's like too much salt in soup. You just don't do it.
I was thinking too much dessert.
There's no such thing as too much dessert, really. Come on now.
Granted. So I did rewatch this episode recently, and as I was watching it, it occurred to me this is a great episode for a commentary because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years, so I'm a little worried to be doing the commentary because I might say some inappropriate things in inappropriate times, but that's just my way.
You mean literally years? You haven't seen it in literally years?
Literally years, yes.
Not these figurative years. Literal years.
Yes.
How many years? When was the last time you saw the episode?
I would say like three.
In its entirety.
Like 3 to 5 years at least.
Okay.
I kind of avoid this one.
3 to 5.
Yeah. Which means I remember nothing about it.
Well, we'll see if your mind gets changed about the episode in the course of our commentary.
Yes, we shall see.
Well, if you haven't listened to one of our commentary episodes before, here's what we're going to do. Suzanne and I have the episode queued up. We're going to give you a countdown, a 3, 2, 1. So go ahead and get False Prophets queued up in your DVD player or your Netflix or your Amazon Prime or your CBS All Access. Plug for CBS All Access. We'll give you a countdown on play. Go ahead and hit play. In 3, 2, 1, play.
Ah, there she is.
Ah, the good ship Voyager.
Oh.
It really is a beautiful
ship. A wormhole. Yes.
You know what I love about this episode right off the bat? I love that it's a sequel to the Next Generation episode where these Ferengi get stuck in the Delta Quadrant.
I forgot all about that.
Right. It's a sequel. With this wormhole that wags around and the Ferengi are bargaining for the wormhole and they get stuck.
Like the tail on a dog. Way to put it, Captain.
So the writers are trying to get a good metaphor.
I like that Chakotay is actually standing up and pushing buttons. instead of his usual sitting down and pushing buttons.
As opposed to sitting down and pushing buttons?
He got to move to a different station.
Yeah, I remember thinking that episode was really interesting. You know, this idea of getting stuck in the Delta Quadrant. Way before Voyager, we had that concept in that episode of The Next Generation. Mm-hmm. And here we are getting to see where those Ferengi ended up. That's why I thought this episode was interesting. I didn't know this was supposed to be a bad episode.
A replicator in use. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, why don't Delta Quadrant races have replicators generally?
That is
generally?
A good question.
Like, none of them do.
I don't understand that because...
Like, all the Alpha Quadrant races have replicators, and none of them in the Delta Quadrant do.
Well, not only that, not... Just like Delta Quadrant people not coming up with the technology. Tons of ships were grabbed from the Alpha Quadrant by the Caretaker. You know they had replicators. Why haven't they spread, you know, across the Delta Quadrant like wildfire?
You'd think at least one other ship would have had a replicator.
And, you know, maybe crashed on some planet and people came across and were like, ooh, we're going to copy this. And then replicators for everyone.
Replicators for everyone.
That's right.
That's like the most useful piece of technology. If there's, you know, other than the holodeck, I think the holodeck is like item number one for me. Having a replicator would be item number two.
I'm going to go transporter number one.
Century technology.
Transporter is number one.
Oh, definitely. Okay, right. Yeah.
I just did a 4-hour drive today. I want a transporter.
You might have just changed your mind. I could go holodeck, transporter, replicator, sure.
Okay, yeah, mine would be transporter, replicator, holodeck.
What would be the first thing you would replicate?
Oh.
If you were these Ferengi on this
why
planet,
do I have to be a Ferengi?
Big lobes.
I guess earrings?
It's just part of the episode.
Earrings, if I'm a Ferengi.
You would replicate yourself earrings?
Why not?
Something for your lobes.
Yes.
Oh, can't you just feel Harry's optimism? We can get back to the Alpha Quadrant. It's a wormhole. Yay!
And there's the captain. Settle down, Beavis.
Poor Harry.
But at least...
Slightest hint of a wormhole.
Chakotay gets to go on an away mission. Yay! He's off of the bridge.
That's right. See, Chakotay gets something to do. That's a good quality
that
in this episode.
That is a good quality.
Is it growing on you yet?
Well, I'll let you know. If there's more Chakotay, then yes.
I love when they replicate local attire.
But it...
How do you know you're not basing it... How do you know you're not basing the fashion on someone who just has no fashion sense?
Like the Village Idiot. They're copying the Village Idiot.
Yes, exactly. Chakotay is dressed up as the Village Idiot right now, yeah.
He's not doing a very good job of hiding that tricorder at all. It's like, hello.
No, he's not.
Tom, why are you showing off the hairy chest?
I love this guy telling the story of these sages from above. They came from above.
What happened to his other eye?
Well, if you remember, the patch goes from eye to eye at one point.
I don't
remember
that.
This guy's just a con artist.
I was going to say...
No, he showed... No, in a minute.
Visually, he looks like Harry Mudd to me, like the original Harry Mudd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, if you remember, a little later in the episode, coming up soon, he shows up again and his patch is on the other side and he's like begging for money or a handout or whatever. I forget what it is. We'll find out when we get there. But either Tom or Chakotay says, hey, wasn't that patch on the other eye?
Oh, anytime I get to see Chakotay out of uniform, it's a good day. I like his vest. The brown against the blue, just it looks very nice with his complexion.
Actually, these are very comfortable looking clothes.
They are. Although it has kind of a Columbo rumpled kind of look. You know, the rumpled raincoat, trench coat.
Yeah, what's the name of that fabric? Is it like seersucker fabric or something?
It's more of a wash and wear.
Is that what it is? Okay. It almost looks like canvas maybe, or why are we analyzing
fashion
so
much? I don't know. Maybe it's muslin.
Like, oh, it's the Voyager fashion show. Isn't that why you listened to The Journey listeners?
Well, Chakotay is winning the fashion show. That's all I have to say.
More than Tom?
Definitely. Tom's...
Chakotay's vest has more contrast with
it
the
shirt. It does. And I don't know, that the hairy chest peeking out on Tom, it's just not a good look for me.
I love Chakotay's question. What do you mean wearing the I guess another thing I love about this episode is just how they reveal the Ferengi. Mm-hmm. They start teasing you with the ears. They get bigger and bigger and bigger until you realize what we're talking about here. Because they haven't used, if you hadn't watched this episode yet, you still might not pick up on the fact that this is a Ferengi.
And
thing.
I love that Chakotay says it must be some sort of fetish.
Not in that sense. Suzanne.
It gives us a little backstory.
For the Ferengi,
Chakotay,
it is,
I'm guessing.
Well, there's another kind of fetish, right? Not fetish in the
I know.
Fetish in the other kind of fetish, yes.
Okay, were those Crocs that they were wearing? It kind of looked like Crocs covered with fabric.
Except for the Ferengi, it is kind of a fetish with the umaks and whatnot. Yeah. So. I love that they're going to try to lure the wormhole back.
Come here, wormhole. Come here, wormhole.
Maybe if we just talk nicely to it, we'll coax it.
You're a pretty little wormhole. Aren't you a pretty little wormhole? They're trying to science the science. See, didn't those look like Crocs just covered with fabric?
As the sages say.
They totally did.
I guess so. I see it. Chakotay has 5 ears on, and Tom only has one big ear.
Tom's ear's bigger.
Okay, this looks like something straight out of the original series, doesn't
it?
Oh,
yeah.
This is straight up 1960s.
Yeah, the scantily clad ladies with their little veils. Oh, wow. She's barely covering her.
The holy sages.
Her assets, I should say.
It almost looks like they could be Talaxian with those clothes. Nope. They're Ferengi. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Not the holy icon.
It's a replicator. I love this little, like, Ferengi altar call we have going on
Reed
here.
Reed is eternal. They got their princess waves down.
Start reciting the...
little princess waves.
Yes, yes, they do. Everyone start chanting the rules of acquisition. So they're going to start speaking the rules of acquisition in tongues here if they're not careful. You could totally pull this off if you had it replicated. These Ferengi are totally onto something.
I still don't see how somebody hasn't, like, lifted it from them.
Yes. Can't they just steal the little icon that's on wheels?
Just bribe the guy that rolls it out? I just need this for 5 minutes.
Can't you have the replicator replicate another replicator?
That is a good question.
Self-replicating replicators.
Why do they have to wear elf shoes?
It would flood the market.
I really don't understand their elf shoes. They just need little bells on the points.
I love that he refers to the family members as employees.
Especially the infant.
Yeah, the that's 7 employees. 8 if you count the infant. That's a good one. Exploitation at home. Gotta remember that one. So take notes.
Oh, Suzanne. I am taking notes. It's like, I can put an infant to work. Okay. Logan's 9 months. I'll get him a job.
Step ahead of the game here. Mm-hmm. I wonder how cultural transition happened this quickly, because the Frankie haven't been there that long, and they've, like, hook, line, and sinker believe that these are the great sages.
It's the replicator. These people were in the Bronze Age. They don't know any better.
But do you think the replicator provides them so, satisfies their needs so much that they're willing to, you know, exploit their families and, you know, make these questionable moral decisions all for the sake of whatever's coming out of the replicator? It just seems like a lot of cultural change really quickly.
It's just more of a magic type thing, like, ooh, look at what they can do. We need to heed their advice and follow their words because they can make these magical things happen.
So it's all just based out of fear.
Yeah.
Okay. They just seem like they believe the Frankie story pretty easily.
They had nothing better going on, so why not?
An epic poem, The Song of the Sages. We're going to do some Greek theater here while we're at it. Oh, wrong episode, sorry. The Ferengi have cornered the market. I love it.
Well, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be the Ferengi. See, society was primitive before the Ferengi.
See, Tom doesn't, he kind of sidesteps the issue. Like, how did, you know, these two Ferengi manage to co-opt the entire society? Oh, well, let's figure out how they got here. You know, come on, Tom.
Why is Neelix in this meeting?
It's the same wormhole. Doesn't he come to most of the senior staff meetings? Maybe he doesn't. I guess he doesn't. Why is he at this meeting?
I have no idea.
That's a good question. Well, out of everyone on the ship, he dresses more closely to the Ferengi than anyone, so.
He wants to be part of the fashion show, I'm guessing, then.
Yes. He will be here before too long, if you remember.
That I do remember.
Yes. He didn't even have to change his clothes.
Which, on a side note, I've been watching a lot of old episodes of Benson lately.
Oh, really? I love Benson. This is such a sidestep for a commentary.
It is, but it just tangent, Ethan Phillips just made me think of it because he was on Benson. And thankfully, he didn't dress as flamboyantly in that show
along
as
with
he does now.
Proto Odo.
Yes, exactly.
Proto Odo was on
Proto Odo.
Oh, Tuvok.
He's
you
such
and
a
your
talent.
Prime Directive. Always talking about the Prime Directive.
Puts the kibosh
ruined
on
everyone's
everything.
Fun. I love that he basically says, we really don't have any jurisdiction here. You know, it's their society, and the Ferengi aren't members of the Federation, so it's not our business.
Which sometimes they should follow Tuvok's advice. Just move along.
Stay out of it.
Just move along home.
Yes. Because you might, it depends what the purpose of the Prime Directive is. Is the purpose of the Prime Directive to preserve the natural evolution of a society, or is it more like a non-interference thing? Because Tuvok seems to be emphasizing the non-interference aspect, but clearly the natural evolution of the society has been co-opted by the Ferengi. So what is the purpose of the Prime Directive?
My thought has always been that it's non-interference. And
even if someone else is interfering, like, you're not supposed to interfere even if someone else already is. Because the Ferengi.
Yeah, because it's not like they did this on purpose. They were just opportunists. They happened to land there and, hey, why not?
Do you think Janeway would be justified in saying we're going to restore the natural evolution by getting rid of the Ferengi? That's what she tries to do, but is that a justifiable interpretation of the Prime Directive, or is she playing with sophistry at this point?
That's for Metatrex to delve into.
Okay, we'll save it
for another podcast. I'm not that deep.
Oh, not meeting your profit requirements. Lose an ear. One ear taken away from your outfit there. Yeah, like, what is the purpose of these ears? Are these currency? Are they decorations? Are they merits? What are these? You have to wear them, but what dictates how many you wear and what size they are and where you place them?
Yeah, try out that couch. That looks comfy.
So this guy has like 6 ears and they're on a sash. Oh, the good life. It's good to be a sage. It's like, oh, not the Federation. He has a lot of ears on.
He has a whole lot of ears. Wow. I can't even begin to count those.
I would say he has at least 30 ears on.
It's a plethora of ears.
I love this little vaudeville act that these two Ferengi have. Like, one is the smooth-talking, savvier business person, and the other is the comic relief. You know, you get your straight man and your more comedic character.
Your Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello, yes. Laurel and Hardy, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes, these are essentially Abbott and Costello, Ferengi Abbott and Costello.
Mm-hmm. Because the straight guy is the taller one.
Yeah.
Yep. Comic relief is the shorter one. There you go.
Okay. The kind of two-person comedy team shtick always works.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do, essentially. Suzanne?
Yeah, I guess so, more or less.
Are you Abbott or are you Costello?
I'm guessing since I'm the shorter of the two of us, I'm Bud Abbott.
Are you the short Ferengi or are you the tall Ferengi? Okay.
No, wait a minute. I would be Lou Costello. Lou Costello was the shorter one.
That's right, I guess. Okay, you can be the short Ferengi. I'll be the tall Ferengi. Got it.
And he was also born in Paterson, New Jersey, as I was.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I love they're trying to justify their place in the narrative here. We came crashing from the sky, just like it says in the poem.
Exactly. We are the sages.
Well, they have as much claim to being the sages as, say, Captain Sisko does to being the emissary.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the difference? The Bajorans believe Captain Sisko is the emissary. We all go, ooh, that's great. But, you know, when the Ferengi do it, it's not nice anymore.
Because they're Ferengi.
The Ferengi can be sages. They can be emissaries.
I don't see Sisko fleecing out an entire planet of people.
How do you think he got that house on Bajor? Pays to be the emissary. Can't Can you imagine, actually, this is kind of a fun mashup. Can you imagine if Kaio Paka grabbed a Frankie's lobe and says, oh, your paw is strong. They pulled it off.
They did
outsmarted
it.
The federations. They're like the cat that caught the canary. Look at them. They get these grins on their faces like, ha ha, I can't catch us.
And the Janeway eye roll at the end like, ugh.
It's like Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can.
That is a good movie.
You can kidnap their gods. Yeah, that seems worse. From a Prime Directive standpoint.
Yeah. Okay, I don't see the Ferengi leaving gracefully.
But see, this is just smoke and mirrors. This is sophistry. Like, what difference does it make how the Ferengi leave? Like, there's still, whatever decision they make here, they're going to leave a mark on the cultural evolution of this planet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've changed so many things.
Exactly. So I guess from that standpoint, just get rid of the Ferengi. It doesn't matter how. But
will people still wear ears if they're gone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The ear thing's got to stay. Or will it be, you know, a dated fashion thing? Like, oh, that's so 1960s, you know.
No one wears bell bottoms anymore. What are you doing?
Like a 1970s ear-shaped porn star medallion. That's essentially what we have going on here.
It is. It totally is. Uh-oh.
This Uh-oh. Is the highlight of the entire episode. Ethan Phillips as a Ferengi. Yes!
No one could have done it better. Absolutely no one.
He was great as a Ferengi. Okay, the Ferengi are always a little ridiculous anyway. They have to ham it up to be a Ferengi in the post-TNG, you know, not the whips and the you know, fur Ferengi, mm-hmm. but the comical Ferengi. You have to ham it up a little bit. And here we have like a meta hamming it up. Like this is a comical interpretation of a comical Ferengi.
Now, I do feel bad for him because imagine he had to go through so much makeup just for this episode, his normal Talaxian makeup. And then all of a sudden, oh, we're going to make you a Ferengi. You have to go through these hours of makeup just to be a Ferengi.
Yeah, did they shove his hair inside the, you know, Ferengi head? How did they do this? You know, in universe. Yes, is Talaxian features all, you know, shoved up in there somewhere? Or did they do some cosmetic surgery? What did they do?
Or did they just, Well, yeah, because the doctor's good at cosmetic surgery, or that he could have taken his mobile emitter and
done, oh, yes, that'd be awesome.
Done a holographic Grand Nagus.
Holographic globes. Holographic globes, yeah. I love the idea of a grand proxy. He speaks with the power of the Negus.
Do you have to have the stick to be the grand proxy?
The scepter?
Yeah. I see it as a walking stick. Yes.
Is that supposed to be the Grand Negus's scepter? Like, is that the actual one?
Or, oh my
it's a
gosh.
Replica, of course, but is it supposed to be the actual one?
I don't know, but what it reminds me of totally is old Biff from Back to the Future, old Biff, yes. With his cane that he hits people on the head with. That is totally it.
Hello, McFly.
Think.
That's a great point, because old Biff is kind of like the Grand Negus in a way.
Yes, he is.
I see it. I could see old Biff as a Ferengi. As the Grand Negus. Yeah. Maybe maybe more Biff from Back to the Future 2, alternate timeline Biff, maybe.
Oh, rich casino mogul Biff.
Rich Biff could be. Yeah, I could see him being a Ferengi as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Almost definitely.
When he hits Marty on the head with a cane, that's exactly right. Good call. Take your ears and come to Ferenginar.
They're losing all their booty.
What I love here is the way in which just being in the Ferengi costume changes Ethan Phillips' acting.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine, I'm not a cosplayer, I never have been, but mm-hmm. I could imagine being dressed up as a Ferengi would absolutely change my personality.
Oh, it would have to. You would just have to embody that.
You just become a Ferengi.
Yeah. Just like when you're cosplaying as a Klingon, you become Klingon.
Mm-hmm. It's not much time to write a speech. 20 minutes?
Well, they better get on it. Apparently. Greater Sage.
I love they got demoted. Now they're the lesser sages. Panic?
Panic.
There's a rule for everything.
47 commentaries.
Yeah, do you think I can get the rules of acquisition with all 47 commentaries on my Kindle that's available for download?
If not, it should be. Oh, and Chakotay's back in that outfit.
He's like Santa Claus here. Here you go, have some candy.
Santa Sage.
Santa Sage, yes.
Yeah, you can't totally change who the people see them as like that with them giving out money. That just causes unrest.
I love that one of the index items was Grand Proxy Avoidance of. There's a rule about how to avoid the Grand Proxy. That's awesome. Footnote, at least.
Make up your own rules.
That's the best kind of rule, the rule that says you can make up other rules. Right, we've all read the rules.
Mm-hmm.
He has one big tooth right in the middle of his face. Have you noticed that?
It's very Tom Cruise-like. Have you ever noticed that Tom Cruise has a tooth right in the center of his mouth?
I guess I've never noticed that, but now I will notice nothing else about Tom Cruise.
I can't even look at him because all I see is that tooth. I'm glad I ruined Tom Cruise for you.
You ruin things, Suzanne.
I'm a ruiner. Uh-oh.
This has gone medieval really fast. Now we have swords.
Well, they don't have the whips with them, I guess.
This is like something out of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, but with Ferengi.
They're making another one, and I'm so excited.
I heard that. That's not a fake thing. That's a real thing.
No, it's a real thing.
Will there be Ferengi in it? Oh,
okay. Oh, I hope not. Why would you say that, Neelix?
I'm not really Ferengi. Don't kill me.
Neelix, no. Don't blow your cover.
He's like, I'm Talaxian. And they're like, we're not from here, dude. What's a Talaxian? We're not from this part, neck of the woods. Not from this neighborhood.
Why is Neelix blowing his cover? This is just awful.
Well, you're not Ferengi, but you dress like a Ferengi.
Your lobes are quite Ferengi.
I love these kind of rubbery fake lobes. It's like they made them to be more bendy than your average lobes on his costume. Whatever a Talaxian is.
Now, why didn't they just kill him?
Yeah, it's like the classic evil overlord mistake, right? Yeah. The evil overlord mistake is always letting your enemies run away instead of just shooting them. Remember the evil overlord list from back in the day? Do you remember that?
I do not.
An internet list, like 100 things you shouldn't do if you're an evil overlord or something along those lines.
Like reveal your grand plan?
Like, when I am an evil overlord, I will fill in the blank, right? Not make all the stupid mistakes that evil overlords in movies make.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any of them, but there was like 100 of them on this list. One of them was, you know, don't let your enemies run away, just shoot them. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, they had him right there. Why let him go? You could have just killed him and be done with it.
Good job, Neelix.
Oh, suffice to say, because you told them. Oh, yeah, it's on the other eye. It's on the other eye.
Yeah, this is the scene. Wait a minute. I love he just looks up at the sky. He's acting. He's in the zone. Three frangs? That's the name of their currency, a frang?
That's kind of Ferengi.
Do you think that's supposed to be a play on Ferengi? Frangs? Is that a Ferengi currency? Other than Latinum?
Well, I could see it being here, yeah. Because they don't have Latinum.
I wonder if the Ferengi brought that term with
them. Let me switch it to my other eye.
Sure. He just goes right back into it. Oh, from the sky they appeared. Oh, you want to know the end of the song? That'll be three frangs, please.
Chakotay wants the spoiler. Spoiler alert.
That'll cost you three lobes.
Everybody's after their shoes. What is that? This is like the second time somebody wants their shoes.
Well, they've got the good shoes, right?
Yeah, they got the Crocs. Crocs are comfy. I don't care that they look ugly. They're comfy.
Space Crocs. Yeah.
Oh, the Holy Pilgrim led them back.
I think I made this point when we were talking about the other episode that I can't remember off the top of my head. That's a shame we don't speak in these grand epic terms anymore.
Oh, Muse. You're talking about Muse.
Muse, thank you. They came from the sky. It was epic.
But then we'd be demanding frangs and shoes from people because we're speaking like that. Did he change his outfit?
He did, I believe.
That looks more Santa Claus than anything.
It is elfish, yes.
It is. And then now he's going to do a dance.
You know what? Actually, it looks like something Liberace would wear as he's about to sit down and play piano.
I was going to say, where's the candelabra?
Yes, exactly. They've cornered the replicated candelabra market.
Oh, Chakotay calling attention to the Holy Pilgrim.
Does that look like something Liberace would wear?
Totally. Although
it absolutely looks like something Liberace would wear.
It needed more sequins.
Absolutely. And rhinestones. I've always been a closet Liberace fan, seriously, when I was a little kid, we had a Liberace VHS tape that my mom would watch again and again and again and again and again.
Oh, wow.
And I love it. I still have a copy of it to this day, and I'm a huge closet Liberace fan.
Well, you're not in the closet anymore because you just told everybody.
Yes, apparently. Thank you, Suzanne.
Do not doubt that Neelix is the Holy Pilgrim.
It's like they're doing poetry slam here. This is Ferengi poetry slam.
Okay, lead them back, lead them back. Sounds an awful like something else.
What does it sound like?
Lock her up, lock her up.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
Strange chants from other gatherings.
I gotcha. Yeah. Oh, the crowd is exclaiming, according to the caption.
False pilgrim, what? Does no one ever pay attention to Chakotay? He's calling the ship on his comm badge. He had his tricorder. Nobody pays attention to him.
No, he's forgettable.
I do not agree with that statement.
I'm just yanking your chain, you know.
He is the best dressed person there. Thank you very much.
Shining Voyager, far from home. Oh, wait, did it again. Wrong episode. If they're creating signs in the sky, they are messing with the Prime Directive.
They are totally. And they could use those photons for something else, you know? They might need them later to, like, blow stuff up.
Yeah, they only have so many of them on Voyager.
Unless Chakotay is whittling some more, yes. Oh, we called him the Lesser Sage again. Lesser Sage.
That's not a bell. He calls it a bell. That's not a bell.
No.
It's a gong.
It's the gong show. They need the big hook to take the Ferengi off stage.
The Ferengi were just gonged, yes.
Oh.
The big hook to take them off stage. That's hilarious.
Aw. You can't call yourself a god.
Don't you feel a little sorry for them here?
No. Because I still don't like Ferengi.
You never feel a little sorry for the Ferengi?
No.
Oh, see, the Ferengi have grown on me. I didn't like them for a long time. What I love about the Ferengi, and they don't do it in Voyager because you don't really have Ferengi in Voyager except for these Ferengi. But I love in Deep Space Nine the way in which the Ferengi often took the moral, the superior moral position. Mm-hmm. Like they're always criticizing the bad decisions of the humans. The Ferengi are like, we would negotiate, we would be peaceful, and it's these humans that are starting this war. Mm-hmm. These Ferengi, of course, aren't that enlightened.
No, they're not playing the blame game.
But I came to appreciate that the Ferengi were actually supposed to be commentary on humans. Wings of fire.
Oh, not they're wings, go. Wings they're going the dove? Literal, oh, no. Literal fire. Sorry, Neelix, you shouldn't have worn that flammable outfit.
On the wings of fire. What exactly is an annular confinement beam?
How can they not establish a transporter lock? I don't get that.
Oh, I probably missed that detail. I don't remember off the top of my head. There must be some reason, right?
Maybe it's that.
Do you know what an annular confinement beam is supposed to be?
No, not at all.
They drag out annular confinement beam way too much without really explaining what it is.
Why can't you shut it down, Tom? Just hit it with something.
That's see, what there you go. Chakotay. Phaser, essentially.
Chakotay saves the day.
They didn't even need the annular confinement beam.
See? They just needed Chakotay and a phaser.
Back to the Alpha Quadrant we go.
Or so Psych. You think. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, I do wonder what would happen to this society after these experiences. The ears would stay.
Mm-hmm.
What about the whole exploitation thing? Do you think people would still be exploiting their family?
Yeah, because that's out there now. So you'll have the people...
It's a thing now.
Yeah. You'll have good people and bad people. Once and some people will use it to their,
an exploiter.
To their advantage. So way to go, Ensign Murphy.
Scepter.
Way to go. Did no one else see the Ferengi running through the hallways?
Apparently not.
I mean, really? Where is everybody?
Well, they're short.
They can't get a lock on anything lately.
Turn up the annular confinement beam. Oh, these Ferengi are so smug. I always thought the Ferengi shuttlecraft looked really silly.
It does. It doesn't look like it would fly. It's just... It looks like a sausage.
It looks like kind of a medieval helmet that got turned horizontal. And that is the ship. By contrast, I do always think these little dome things that the Ferengi have, these little dome-shaped control panel things, look really cool. Like little
R2-D2. They look like R2-D2's head.
Yeah, exactly. But not as charming.
No, it doesn't beep beep boop boop.
Bye, Ferengi.
No! Not the Alpha Quadrant.
You don't think that shuttle looks like something Freya would have worn?
No, Freya had better taste than that.
Okay.
Way to go, Harry. You should have got everybody into the wormhole instead of...
Console buzzing. I know I do this every time we do this, but the descriptions of the sound effects in the closed captioning
they are
is
great.
Hilarious. If you've never watched Voyager with the closed captioning on, you have to do it.
Oh, bye-bye, wormhole.
That wormhole is not coming back.
Nope, nope, nope. They didn't talk nicely enough to it. It ran away.
No more options. Oh, Harry.
Resume course.
He's gonna shed a tear. Harry really emotes over this wormhole.
He does that for every wormhole.
Yeah, but he kind of outgrows it a little bit. This is definitely early in Voyager for him to be so worked up about a wormhole. By season 6 and 7, he kind of gets over it.
Woohoo, hand out the cash.
Bye, Holy Ones.
Bye, Voyager.
All of a sudden, the thrift stores on this planet are flooded with
ears.
Ferengi ear-shaped jewelry. Yeah, ears, lobes. Well, what did you think? It's been a while since you've seen the episode. You don't like this episode. Do you like it more now? I still think it's a fun episode, generally.
Still, no. Not a favorite, other than the Chakotay factor.
Just the clothes. And Chakotay, of course. But
And Chakotay actually doing stuff. You know, he's up at a different console. He's wearing different clothes. He's shooting a phaser at this thing. Yeah. Take out Chakotay and I'm like, eh.
I still think the highlight of the episode is Ethan Phillips playing a Ferengi.
He was very believable Ferengi, yes.
He was. But hamming it up.
Very much so.
Even more than he already does with Neelix. I mean, to play Neelix, you have to ham it up a little bit, too. Well, I'm glad you liked it a little bit better than you used to.
Yes.
Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to us compare the sizes and shapes and placement of our lobes, but this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere around the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, the Orb.
DS9's second visit to the Mirror Universe wasn't simply that, hey, that was fun, we did that in season two, why don't we do that again? Let's go to the Mirror Universe, let's just make it a thing. It was, let's go back and find out what were the consequences of that first crossover, and then let's build upon that. And that, again, is one of the things that I think the DS9 writers do so well that we don't always see on other series.
Earl Grey.
I want to start with something a little bit different. The first thing I want to start with is to go around and ask everybody something that they love about Nemesis. So, Zach, you want to start?
Sure.
I know it's a challenge. That
was a
challenge,
pregnant
but...
pause.
I hope he doesn't say the credits.
Oh, no.
Literary Treks.
To me, and I kind of thought this more as we got further into the book, it really felt like a narrative computer game almost, where you find all these clues and you visit these rooms and then you have to visit the rooms again and all that. And we'll get into the main plot of what they do later in the book. But yeah, this setup, I love the mystery. I'm really enjoying like what's going on, what happened here.
The 602 Club.
You know, what's really interesting is I have shown this to my kids. This is the one I held on to. This is like Revenge of the Sith, where I was like, you got to get to a certain... I got to know you're going to be able to, you know, sort of like hang on to this and not, you know, go too far with it and get freaked out and stuff. And what's so fascinating, and I think back to when I was a kid and I saw this, that... the heart scene, you know, the famous Mole Rom taking the heart out scene, that was fascinating.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it'll come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek.fm show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So, Zachary, when you're not trying to hustle people out of their space crocs, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTrek's TrekFM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can find me in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me over there. And you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne? When you're not playing the part of the shorter Ferengi, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me popping up in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
Whatever, Ferengi Costello. Space Costello. Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network through Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of time and money to produce, host, and distribute these podcasts each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We do have some people we would like to thank. The first off being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who is also the Holy Pilgrim. Executive producers Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp. Aaron Harvey, our art director. Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brendan Shematella, our Patreon manager. Also, a very big thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your support of Trek FM and To the Journey.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we'll be figuring out how difficult it is to replicate a replicator. But until then, this has been To the Journey.